The December 1982 tape of the month is taken from the December 12th Sunday Morning Fellowship and Sunday Night Service at the Way College of Biblical Research, Indiana campus. Dr. Rule is the teacher at both meetings.
Well, today is, like many days, sort of significant, but this one is very significant to me, and perhaps to most of you here, because today, in 1951, was the date when I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit into manifestation. And I'm here with you at the Indiana campus, far from Tulsa today. Every time I hear someone speaking in tongues and interpreting or giving a word of prophecy, I always effervesce on the inside, bubble. Because how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is, and how simply and easily you do it. And I struggled and strained and stressed for years. But thank God, once I did receive, after that I was able to explain to people how they could. Also, this 12th of December, it was a Wednesday. The 12th of December was a Wednesday. But it also is the Wednesday in 1967 when we finished filming PFAL in Dayton, Ohio. So two rather significant things at least occurred on 12th of December. It is certainly wonderful how the Word of God, when it's taught to people accurately and people understand it, how much it blesses them in taking so many negatives out of their lives and getting rid of so much fear in their lives. And I can understand this so well, because I wanted to receive the Holy Spirit into manifestation so much that I was almost willing to do anything. And boy, when you say anything, that's terrible. If someone hadn't pinned me on the Word and really pinned me, I do not believe I would have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I know I would not have on that day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He took the fear out. You know, many times you have fear, but you don't voice it to anybody else because you're afraid they're going to laugh at you. And every individual wants to be accepted, not laughed at. And therefore, a lot of times, you hide these things in your heart rather than bring them out in the open. We're all like that. I guess they call that self-preservation or self-destructive, whatever it is, one or the other. So, really within my heart, I had a fear of doing something off of the wall when I would receive the Holy Spirit. I thought maybe I'd lay down on the floor, you know, and do all some silly things, or jump over a chair, or, you know. And really, this was stuff I'd seen and stuff that's just deep within me. And being the kind of person that I was, having been raised like I was, you know, that was so totally against the way I was thought and raised that it was hard for me to think that I could allow myself to do something what I call silly. It was only the Word of God that got that fear out of me. And how I thank God today for that man, J.E. Stiles, whom God sent from California to Tulsa and told him, before he left California, there was one man he could help and would help. And I happen to be that man. And he took me in the Gospel of Luke. I think this is in the foundational class, isn't it? He took me into the Gospel of Luke, where I'm going to take you this morning, maybe to this afternoon and tonight too. I don't know. Day's not over with yet. In chapter 11 of Luke, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and it doesn't say particularly what that certain place was. The important thing, he was praying. And here you have a point. If the scriptures are silent, we dare not speak. If the scriptures are silent, we dare not speak. I cannot tell you where that certain place is. But I know it's a certain what? Right. And I know it follows on the heels of chapter 10, where he was with Mary and Martha. Verse 42 said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, following upon that tremendous record in 10, that one of his disciples said unto him, doesn't say apostle, does it? Could he have been an apostle? Yes. Not every disciple is an apostle, but every apostle is a disciple. So I, again, don't know. All I know, it was a what? Disciple. Said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them. So the them implies more than that disciple, right?
Right.
See, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So wonderful. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then immediately, here in Luke goes, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, is the word. Importunity is persistence. Because he just kept saying, look, man, I got to have 3 loaves of bread. So he kept digging him. He will rise and give as many as he needeth. And then in verse 9, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. How many, many times in my life I failed to apply that principle. There it is. You know, I pray and don't get an answer 2 seconds later, or 2 days later, then you sort of slough off. And you sort of think, well, no need doing this anymore. But if it's a real need, put want need together here, foundational class again. If it's a real need, God knows our need, right? So we just have to be persistent. I think the greatest thing I've learned in prayer is to renew my own mind. I'm sure God doesn't need that. To renew my mind to accept what I'm praying for. And not have any negative doubt about getting it. I got problems at times with my negative, stupid hand. And so, if you just keep praying persistently, it's what he was teaching. You're going to get it. Prayer, basically, is not getting something new from God, because God's had it all along. Prayer is to bring it into concretion, into reality in my own life. That I receive what God has already made available. And that word ask relates itself to that word persistent. The word ask is the same word that's used in banking circles today. When you walk up to the cashier's window in a bank with your check and you demand payment on that check. It's the word demand. The reason you can ask or demand and be persistent is because the deposit's already there. You understand? The money's already in the bank. Therefore, you can demand payment on your check. That's this word, ask. I still think one of the great things I did for our ministry, and it's again back in print, and people again have to get their heads into it, are those 10 blank checks that are in the Bible, in the Gospels. No, they're not all in the Gospels. The 10 blank checks in the Bible. Whatsoever, whosoever, checks. Because that is exactly what I see here in the context of what we're reading this morning. And when you demand payment on that check, it shall, it's an absolute tense, a verb in an absolute tense, absolutely be given unto you. You lay the check at the cashier's window, the deposit is there, it's going to absolutely be what? Given. That's what this is all about. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be what? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And that word receiveth is lambanos, manifests. You walk the cashier's window, you demand payment, you get $100 bills or singles or whatever you ask for, because the deposit's already there. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And in the context of this, he keeps going on. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would for a fish give him a scorpion or a serpent? Or if he should ask an egg, will he give him that scorpion business? I forget all the detail of this right now. But, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. And here are the three words that just turn me from fear to believing, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It was that verse 13, and also he flipped over to Matthew and showed me the same context of verse there. But it's those words, how much more, that really took fear out of my life. I was a father. I didn't give my children poison, earthly father. I didn't beat the H out of my kids and cripple them and hurt them. But nobody had ever taught me these things. So I had a fear that I might make myself a fool. But what father would do anything to his children, earthly children, to make them look like fools in front of others? That's how J.E. Stiles drove the word into my mind. That's right. How much more? He said, well, Dr. Rewell, you know how to give good gifts to your children. God's not going to make you do something foolish or stupid. He's not going to make you look like a fool in front of other people. How much more your Heavenly Father would give you than you being an earthly father? And that's what took the fear out of him. Maybe it took him an hour and a half on that one verse, two verses, the other one from Matthew, to just flip it back and forth and just drive it. Then when I was rid of the fear, I could speak in tongues, and did. So, and I was still under the illusion at that time, perhaps I think I was, a lot of that stuff you try to remember, and I can't recall every detail, but I was still under the fear that not only would this thing, you know, make me do something foolish, but the illusion that I would get something I never had before inside of me, something inside of me that I never had before. You and I know from the Word today that when you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's all you're ever going to get. And therefore you already have God in Christ in you, which is Pneuma Hagion, Holy Spirit. All you need to do is lambano it, manifest it. You've got the makings on the inside. All you need to do is to deliver it, show it forth, right? So I had to get over that illusion that I was going to get something else, which he told me I wasn't. He didn't explain to me that it was God in Christ in me, because he did not know that. But he did know that you didn't get anything extra. What extra you did was in the manifestation, not in the getting. It was in manifesting what you already had. And how grateful I am this wonderful day for that man, J.E. Stiles, who just wouldn't let me get away from the Word. And he just kept saying to me, I don't care what fears you got, don't make any difference. God doesn't make you a fool. Then he'd go back, how much more? How much more? You believe in God, don't you, Dr. Rewell? Yep, you already. He should have said, why don't you practice what you talk about? Believe God. How much more our Heavenly Father would give? Boy, your Heavenly Father gives Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now, it's always been remarkable to me, too, that here in Luke, where he talks about giving Holy Spirit to them that ask him, in Matthew, those words, Holy Spirit, are translated good thing, I think. We can look at Matthew. Verse 11. Of Matthew 7. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, there are your words again, how much more shall your what? Father, which is in heaven, give what? Good things. So whatever Holy Spirit is in Luke, is in Matthew good things. Good things to them that ask him. So, the manifestation, the evidence of speaking in tongues, pneuma hagion, Holy Spirit, is a good thing. A good thing. And some of us came out of backgrounds where we were taught that anybody that spoke in tongues, speaking in tongues, was of the devil. Some of us came out of that. Again, the word corrects all error and takes all fear out of people. It's the word that does it. Not talk, but word. So whatever Holy Spirit is in Luke is a good thing in Matthew, or a good thing in Matthew is what Luke is, Holy Spirit.